May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. From Mark's Gospel this morning, one sentence. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples and the crowds who came to listen to him about a week before the Transfiguration. And as we know, after that mystical and revealing event on Mount Tabor, Jesus and his disciples then turned towards Jerusalem to take the final steps of Jesus' earthly journey. In this gospel, Jesus had told them what he was going to have to do, what was facing him. And then he tells them very succinctly what will be required of them in order to truly follow him. Now, Jesus addressed this statement to his disciples and to those in the crowds who came to hear him speak. It was not delivered to his inner circle alone. And the message is therefore for everyone, and equally important to us today. If you want to become my followers, deny yourselves, take up your cross, and then follow me. As I studied and reflected on this sentence, this oh-so-meaty sentence, four parts stood out, and each of them could be a sermon in itself, so we'll just spend a little bit of time with each. Kind of an overview. And here's the spoiler, but don't plug your ears. It's about transformation. Jesus says, if you want to become my followers, then deny yourselves, followed by take up your cross, and finally, follow me. If. There is an implied question here. In other words, do you? The choice is up to each one of us. This couldn't be clearer. And we can't move on unless we figure out our answer to this first. And not everyone who has walked through the church door has settled this question in their hearts. Many are seekers and new. And even those who are not strangers to church may still be working out what it means, even though it leads to a life of fullness and abundance. To be a follower of Jesus in the fullest sense. And that's okay. Being a member of a church is a great place to work on that, primarily because it is not something that God wants us to do alone. I can tell you that my own faith journey has been underpinned by my community church life. I would not be where I am on my vocational journey if not for a rich and supportive faith community of close to 40 years, helping me to further discern the answer to that question. If you want to be my followers, deny yourselves. Well, the concept of deny is kind of two-edged for me. It could be about giving up things I like to do or doing things I don't want to do or are difficult, or both. I think immediately about the reaction of Jesus' listeners, especially his disciples, to this second part of Jesus' statement. The disciples had, after all, been with Jesus close to 3 years. And when called by Jesus, they let go of their former lives instantly. Simon and Andrew, we are told, immediately left their nets and they went with Jesus. James and John immediately left their boats and their father and went with Jesus. Matthew got up from the tax booth and went with Jesus. All of the disciples gave up their former lives to follow this itinerant preacher for 3 years, mostly through backcountry, to and fro among small towns and rural villages, often on the run or in hiding. Pretty much depending on the kindness of others, their own skills and trades, and a miracle or two for food and shelter. So maybe when Jesus got to the part about deny yourselves, the disciples might have said something like, come on. Indignant? Maybe a little. Yep, they gave up a lot for Jesus. And they did a lot of difficult stuff for Jesus for 3 years. What more could they have done or not done? And like the disciples, we might push back at Jesus' statement. What more does the Lord require of me? I come to church regularly. I participate in one or more ministries. I donate to the church and elsewhere. I genuinely love and care for my community, within the church and without. I work really hard at being the hands and feet of Jesus. I'm doing all the right things, and I've given up a lot personally too. Jesus would not discount all that the disciples had already given up or done. And he wouldn't discount all that we have outwardly given up or done either. For it contributes to essential work for the community of the church. And it's where most of us start our faith journeys, our personal growth towards spiritual maturity. But Jesus wasn't referring to that alone. He was pointing to the inward work that is required, the things we need to do or not do in here in order to follow him, to address the inner distractions or temptations in our hearts. And for each of us, it will be something completely different, just as will be the things we need to sacrifice as we take up our cross. The cross, as an instrument of execution, would have been horrifyingly familiar to Jesus' followers and listeners. It was a well-known instrument for putting to death. It had become a well-known symbol of death. Jesus, like many of the prophets and teachers of the time, used stories, parables, and metaphor to make his point. And he does so in this case also. Furthermore, he did not say take up the cross. He said, take up your cross. In other words, putting on the cross, all those things, the stumbling blocks and obstacles, the things of this world and our vanities and faults that fetter our hearts, that impede us from truly surrendering to dying to self, that hold us back from dying to self. You know, even in my own discernment, even after multiple discussions with Clara as I was working through things over the course of a year or so, she finally had to have me answer that question. What is holding you back? And it took me another year or so to be able to face up to my stumbling block. What was keeping me from my yes to this vocation? And when, wherever each of us is headed on our own faith journey, it is something each of us needs to contend with. The cross Jesus carried up the hill to Calvary was heavy and cumbersome and backbreaking, but glory was waiting on the other side. Should we decide to follow Jesus, deny ourselves the things in here that separate us or distract us from God, we may find our crosses equally heavy and cumbersome and backbreaking, especially with the weight upon it of all that we might need to put to death. But we can leave our cross upon the hill and all that we've nailed to it and walk home freed to follow him. And when we truly follow Jesus, who showed us the way with his own sacrifice, it means that we, like him, will be in glorious and right relationship with God. And everything else flows out from there. In the end, it's almost that simple. But getting there usually isn't. Interior work never is. But personal transformation is impossible without it. And God longs for this for us. And that is why he sent his son to show us the way, to show us that the fullest life is possible when we can go beyond what we do to understanding how to be fully united with the one who created us and loves us beyond measure, and who will direct our hearts in all that we do if we say yes. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. I pray that as our Lenten journeys continue, each of us may take these words of Jesus into our hearts and bravely explore over the course of these next few weeks and beyond what the Lord requires of us. And in community, lovingly and tenderly support each other along the way, just as Jesus does us. Keeping our eyes upon him always, who looks back at us with encouragement, love, and hope. Amen.